Bible, and we've arrived at the book of 1 Corinthians in our study through the Bible, and this week we've arrived at chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we invite you to turn there. If you're in need of a Bible, we'd count it a privilege to give you one. Just raise your hand, and the ushers are walking down the aisle to pass the Bible over to you. They also have pencils for keeping notes on your bulletin there, but in particular, make sure you get a Bible so you can see that it's God's Word that we're studying and not man's opinion. If you need that Bible to keep, it's yours, no charge for it. Take it, enjoy it, wear it out. Pass it on to someone. Well, the Bibles are being passed out. Let me just say that last Sunday, of course, I was with many of the guys at the men's retreat, and it was an awesome, awesome weekend. And for those of you guys that went, what do you think? Was it worth going? Yeah, all right. All right. It was a neat weekend. Neat weekend to get together with the guys. I understand that Ben did a real awesome job here. Okay, got a yes, he did. His head's nodding. Good, good. I guess Jeff was here with Kenny lead worship. I heard it's a great morning here. So great morning there, great morning here. You know what? God was in both places. He can do that. And working in all of our midst. And so great to be back with you again this morning, though. Well, we're in 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to read actually two verses separated by a number of verses just to kind of set the tone for this morning. Go to chapter 12 here, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Where Paul writes, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Now jump all the way down to verse 27 as Paul continues that same idea. "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." Where do we fit in the body of Christ? Do we matter in the big scheme of things? There are so many people, even so many people who are Christians. Does it really matter what I do or don't do as far as the big picture? And if I want to be part of the body, or at least respond to the understanding that I am, how do I find out what my gifting is, what my part is? As we're going to see, no matter who you are, if you have come to that place of understanding your need for a Savior, have received Christ as the Savior that God provided. In essence, if you're born again, you have received Christ, you are in the family. Therefore, you have a part in the body of Christ. That's what Paul is declaring here. Now, for some of us this morning, we have a pretty good idea of what our part in the body of Christ is, or at least at this time in our lives. You're actively serving the Lord, you're functioning as a particular part of the body of Christ. We are greatly blessed here in the fellowship by a number of people who stepped up and God is using them. They're letting God use them with the gifts God has given them. But this morning, I particularly just want to speak to those here who you're not sure what your place in the body of Christ is. You hear messages like this one, and it is a well-known portion of Scripture, so you've probably heard this a number of times if you've known the Lord for a while and attended church for a while. And we read this portion of Scripture, and you know, you say, well, yeah, I understand I'm a part of the body of Christ, but really, Pastor, a lot of times I don't feel very much like the part of the body of Christ. I don't know what my place is in all this. This morning, I want to address, in particular, those of you who might be asking, where do I fit in? To know what that part is, to be open to being whatever God wants you to be, is very important to you and to the whole body. Because it's the only way you'll discover why you're really here. The real purpose, the meaning for your life, is to get in sync with, discover, enjoy, walk in the giftings God has given you. You are already a part of the body if you're in Christ. That's been settled. The moment you received Christ as Savior, you came in to what he's portraying here. The picture he's using is the body of Christ. And we'll explain more about that in a moment, why he uses that picture. But to the degree that you're letting God use you in your part, not only you, but the whole team, the whole body, is affected by that. You see, it's not a take it or leave it deal. If you say, well, I'm saved and I'm okay there and I'll just kind of coast on home, you know, and just go about my business, at least I have my salvation. What you need to understand is this. It's not a take it or leave it deal. It will affect the entire body and it will affect you. How you feel about life, how you end each day, your very purpose for being here. See, one way or another, it's going to affect you as well as others. I've called our time together this morning based here on verse 27. You are the body of Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll give us an alert this morning, a hunger, not just mentally, but of our hearts, Lord. And then, Lord, we want to hang back. But instead, Lord, we just reach the place of saying, Lord, here I am, all of me. Whatever you'd have, whatever you want to do, Lord, use me. Because we know in that, Lord, we discover why we're here. Thank you, Lord, you didn't save us to put us on the shelf, but there's things you want to do. But again, Lord, we fall so short. We get so much about us. We get duped into thinking that there's no purpose, no reason. Oh, Lord, help us. This morning, help us to truly hear and then to walk in what you're going to be showing us. Every single person has a place. Thank you for that. May you get all the glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. In chapter 12, Paul begins this chapter. Go back to verse 1. As we set the stage this morning, as we consider the context, go back to verse 1 for just a moment of chapter 12 here, where we read Paul as he declares, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Interestingly, the word gifts is not there in the original. He's simply saying now concerning the spirituals. You see, for the first 11 chapters, if you've been with us, you know that Paul's been dealing with problems. Problems in the church at Corinth. There was division. They were carnal, fleshly, self-focused. Many things were out of order. And he's been writing, correcting those chapter after chapter, ministering to them and us. Important, important lessons. But now he gets to chapter 12, and he says, I want to teach you about spirituals. Spiritualities. Now, it's about gifts, really, so that's why they've inserted gifts there to help us understand it better. But from here on, that's what it's going to be about. But now, this morning, we're not going to focus on the gifts per se, not the specific gifts. We really don't have the time. Time would not permit to go into each of these gifts and what they are and how they work. But what I want us to really look at this morning, what I believe we're called to consider, is the reason the gifts are given and how we discover what our gifts are. See, each of us, again, plays a part in this body of Christ. And it's important we discover and walk in what our part is. Go to verse 4 for a moment. As Paul now says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Notice here. Well, it's the same Lord doing the work, he says, but the expression of that, the way it's going to go about, is there will be differences. Notice that he talks about diversities and differences. You see, in the body of Christ, there's to be unity. It's around the Lord. But within that unity that we all have in the Lord, there's to be a diversity of the expression of his work, of his gifts. Unity doesn't mean uniformity to the extent that we're all just clones of one another. But rather, we all have different personalities and giftings and things God has built in. And so we come different in those ways. One in the Lord, but with diversity, he says. So there's diversity, differences in the expression of the working of these various gifts. So the point is that there will be different gifts given to different people at different times. But in all of this, the focus is to be on the gift giver, not the gift. He's the one who's doing it. He's the one who gets the glory for it. Now, we come to an important point here, especially if you wonder where you fit in the body of Christ. How am I going to discover what my gifts are? Look at verse 4 again. There are diversities of gifts, it says, but the same Spirit. The word translated gifts there, which is the same Greek word throughout the text, is the Greek word charismata. I don't typically do this, but it's important to understand how we discover our part and how this whole process works. It's the Greek word charismata. And again, it's a key here to discovering our part in the body. In the word charismata, translated gifts, the last part of it, the TA, makes it a plural word, meaning there are many gifts, not just one gift, but there's a plurality of gifts. That's the TA, charismata. The MA, charismata, the MA is interesting, for it's in the Greek, it means it's put on something to show that what's going to come after this word will be a result of the word right before it. So the MA, charismata, ta, plural, ma, means what's going to happen afterwards is a result of what happened before, what goes on before. And what goes before it? The word charis. What is the word charis? It is the word grace. Greek is charis. We translate it grace. Grace, of course, is God's unmerited, undeserved favor towards you and me. Thus, the word translated gift means that these things God is doing in us and through us, they're going to be a result of God's unmerited favor in us. There are many of them, they're plural, but they'll be a work of God's grace. So whether, when you talk about gifts, we look at something we might say is more of the natural gifts, something you might say a little more, you know, we're kind of born with, or we've grown with, or we have an understanding that we have that gift or whatever. We have our natural gifts. Or whether you're talking about the supernatural gifts, as this section particularly focuses on, the point is they're all from God. Your very breath is a gift from God. Back in chapter 4, verse 7, Paul had said, "What do you have that you did not receive?" In other words, everything we have, gifts, natural gifts, supernatural gifts, they're all a work of God's grace in our lives. Verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. It's a capital H. It's as God wills that gifts are given. So as we seek out what our gifts are, the first thing we want to understand is that fact that it's God's grace that's going to do it. Don't evaluate yourself in terms of it's availability, as we'll see in a moment here. That's what he's looking for. So the means, the agent by which God does this is the Holy Spirit, and he does it simply because of his great grace. Now, what's our part in this? Well, it was right there in our text. See, there it says that he distributes, verse 11, distributing to each one individually as he wills. See, it's God giving it, but we're in there. We're in there in that, those words, each one, individually. So it's God doing it, but he gives each one of us gifts. Each one of us has a purpose. We are here for a purpose, a design. He gives each one individually as he wills. I don't pick them. Before you were born in the womb, God didn't say, "Now, what kind of gifts would you like in this life? I've got a smorgasbord here. You can pick some out." No committee picks these things out. But God does it. He gifts us. Gives us interest and abilities and giftings and supernatural giftings. But it's He who does it. But our part is the each one individually. See, the question becomes, are you a responder to the giving? When he gives you these things, as he does this work, what does he find in you? Digging in your heels? Arguing with him? Oh, certainly you can't use me. I'm not nearly as good as the other guy. Use him, use her. Or are you just available? That's the call. Every single one of us. See, my call this morning, my encouragement is, to the degree that you find this, you'll be blessed. To the degree that you don't, you'll be frustrated. You'll end your days wondering, was that what it's all about? Is that the only reason I'm here? Important we discover and walk in the giftings God has for us. Now, with that setting the table, I'm going to read through a number of verses. Now, I want to read all of them because it's all one example. You've heard the example, but let God speak to you afresh and anew now as we look at this example of the body, our physical bodies, as examples of the body of Christ. Verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, many parts to the body, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. By one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, they're not just one part, but many parts. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they are all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor, and our presentable, unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. This is such good stuff. Long portion, but you see, I had to just read the whole example there so we see what God is saying to us here. In these verses, we have a very awesome picture. Those who receive Christ as Savior are part of a body. Now, a body, of course, is a living organism, growing, changing, maturing, developing. And that's what we're part of. We're part of a body. We're not part of a machine. We're not part of an organization. The body of Christ is not a business. It's a body. Now, just for a moment, think about your body. Think about how complex your body is. Think about all these various parts. Think of the diversity of the body, the many parts of your body and how they're all so different, but so necessary to the functioning of the whole body. Just consider your eye, how complex it is. The brain, but every part of your body, all the organs, everything, so crucial, so important. And all important for the functioning of the body. Think of that diversity, because that's one of God's main point here. How do you relate to others in the body of Christ? Do you rejoice when you see them discovering or walking in their part? Or are you jealous? Wish I was an elbow. Wish I could be an ear. How do you react when you see someone else discovering and walking in that? Are you glad that we have an ear, that we have an elbow? Or are you jealous? Do you covet that part? Do you encourage people in the discovering of and the use of their gifts? Do you point out to them, hey, that gift you have really blesses me? Do you pray for people, yourself and others, to receive and be aware of these gifts and to operate in these gifts? Or truth be told, do the other parts of the body bug you? Truth be told, do you just kind of, just bugged by, you look at that guy and you go, look at him. Man, he is so weird. What's his place in the body? And look at her. Always doing this, or always doing that. Or, how do you react to it? Look how different we all are in the body of Christ. And we look at some people and we think they're so different. Have you ever really looked at your ear? None of you have come around and bragged to me about how beautiful your kidney is. But you thank God for it. And we get to looking at people and evaluating them. The ear is designed like it is so it can catch sound waves and everything. It's not supposed to look like an elbow. It's supposed to look like an ear. And we get to look at other people and we go, look at him. Look at her. Well, that's because God's making that person an ear. And that's how God wants them to be for the purpose in the body. But we can get jealous of the higher profile parts. How come they get to do all the talking? How come they get to be up front or whatever it might be? What Paul is trying to show us here is that all the parts are important to the body of Christ. Just like our human bodies. And in particular, the parts that we cannot see. The parts that aren't so handsome. You might lay them under the light. You put your heart under the light or something. Again, you put your liver out there and you go, yuck. But boy, how glad we are for them and how crucial they are. Sure, that other person is different, but that's okay. That's how we're all going to reach our goal of what God wants us to be collectively. Guys, you might think of it like this. You can't have a football team of nothing but quarterbacks. It wouldn't work. Someone has to throw the ball, and someone has to run out to receive the ball. Someone has to catch it if they're going to have success, aren't they? You have to have different parts, different places in that football team. We all understand that. But I'll tell you this. If the lineman doesn't block for the quarterback, he's going to have a long afternoon. But you know what? You probably aren't going to read the lineman's name in the headlines tomorrow. Most people don't know who the lineman is, but you better believe the quarterback knows his name because he saves his bacon just about every play. And you better believe the coach knows the lineman's name because so much hangs on whether the lineman does his part or not. Yes, you might be in the body of Christ, but you don't get the limelight or the headlines or whatever. But know this, the Lord knows your place. It matters to God greatly the part that you have. Each one is crucial to the overall picture. So at this point, you might be saying, okay, I've heard it before. I have no problem understanding this. I see we're all parts of the body. We're all different, and yet we're all important. But again, how do I find mine? Where do I fit in? What do I have to offer? Well, a couple of things. Remember, first of all, what we saw. What did God tell us? That it's He who gives gifts as He decides. So first of all, in this adventure of discovering why you're here and what gifts God's given you, don't try to be what the other guy is. Again, don't say, I think I do want to be an eyeball. I think I'll just do that. No, don't try to be, if you try to be what God has called me to be or me to be what God has called you to be, that'll be disaster. Each one has to seek what God would have them to be. And so it's going to take a sensitivity and availability, not of looking around and trying to mimic others or copy others, but just be open to what God wants to do in you and through you. So remember that. It's He who gives as He decides. He distributes to each one. Again, each one. You have something. You have your place in this body of Christ. And the sad thing is, to the degree that you hold back, we are affected by it, and you are. But you are in here. So, don't overlook what God is doing in you and through you. The things that He already has imparted to you and shown you. Interest that you have. A hunger to maybe be involved in some area. Whatever it might be, a burden on your heart, we call it sometimes, meaning just you care about some area in the body of Christ. That doesn't come naturally. Not really. God's bringing that along. Now, again, there are natural gifts and supernatural gifts, but again, they're all from God. But the key is, what are we doing about it? So, our part is quit arguing with God about this. Just let Him do it. You don't find your place in the body by looking around and comparing or anything like that. If you do that, you'll just get frustrated. But you look up and you settle the issue. Lord, whatever You've given me, it's Yours. And I won't compare to how much somebody else has of the same thing or if they do something different. Just whatever You've given me, it's Yours. And if You want to give me something more or something supernatural, it's all going to be Yours. See, and that last part is critical. I want to serve the Lord, but I could only really serve Him in the ways He calls me to. Anything outside of that is nothing but works itself. So you got to find where God wants you. how He has gifted you. That's the key. We have up front here those who God has gifted them with their voices and musical instruments and all. And so they offer that to the Lord. And so the body is edified, built up, encouraged as they lead us in praising Him. Those up front have offered their giftings to God. And that's the idea. But we bring glory to Him as we do what He has called us to do with the gifts He has given us. See, that's the goal in all this. This is Paul speaking, but listen to Peter over in 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. He says, as each one has received a gift, and each one of us has, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See, it's the same thing. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, that's the goal. As we do what we do at His leading, His empowering, recognition that He's given me that gift, as we yield to Him, then it in turn will point back to Him. It'll give Him glory. Now, there's something that might be helpful here in discovering your place in the body of Christ. Gifts are given by God to meet needs. Gifts, abilities, supernatural gifts, they're not given as toys to be played with or badges of our great superiority and spirituality. We walk around and, you know, let everybody know, how, look how great I am. I have this great gift or something. That's not what they're for. They're given to meet needs. That being the case, if you want to discover what gift God might have given you or wants to give you, then begin to look for and reach out to meet needs. Gifts to meet needs, start being sensitive to the needs around you and be available to meet it. He may not use you in every case, but He's going to use you in some of them. To give a word of comfort, encouragement, exhortation, some supernatural gifting, or just whatever it might be. But you'll begin to discover them because He wants to use them. He gave them to you, and they're for the purpose of blessing, encouraging, building up others. So begin to be sensitive to the needs around you. And if you're available, you'll begin to notice it. Now, don't argue with Him, well, that's really nothing. Just your prayer for them, your interest in them, your phone call, hey, I was wondering how you're doing. That compassion is a gift. And it will bless the other person if you will operate in it. But how sad for you and that other person when the phone doesn't ring. When you don't step forward to help the children. Whatever it might be, how sad for both sides of the equation. I have found that the Lord doesn't give us gifts for us to evaluate Him and the gift and decide if it's worthy of being used or if I want to be that particular part of the body. Again, often it's in the going forward, saying, okay, Lord, here I am, and I'm going to go for it. I settle the issue that if He's given me this, then it's His, and I'm going to go for it in it. He doesn't show us His plan and ask us to endorse it or approve it. He's saying, I want to use you in it. So He says, go. Then as we say yes, He begins to move. He steers, He guides, He empowers, He gifts. There are needs out there, and God has the answers. We don't have them in and of ourselves. He wants to give them to us and through us. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, Paul writes, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Are you doing your part? Are you doing your share? We need you to, and you need to. Oh, that you could discover the joy of finding your place in the body of Christ. I am so saddened when I watch people settle for salvation, just kind of go on hold, figure, well, I'll get to heaven and that's it. Meanwhile, just kind of plunk along during the day and miss out on what God has you here for. And He has us here for things. Besides salvation, which is awesome, awesome, of course, I remember talking to the Lord, saying, Lord, I want a life of meaning. I want a life of purpose. I want it to be a life you use. I want to get to the end of my days and the end of my life and be able to say, yeah, okay, life well lived. God, you had it. There was a purpose to this thing. Yes, we must mow our yards and make lunches for the kids and go to work and all those things. But through it all, There's a bigger calling, bigger purpose, if we'll just pay attention. And we need to, and the body needs us to. Would you be willing to say, Lord, go for it in me? Go for it through me. Not, well, what could I do? I haven't been to seminary, and I don't know the Bible that well. And we give all these reasons. God's saying, I mean, what do you do? Tell God something he doesn't know? You're going to tell him something, oh, I forgot about that. I can't really use you. Better skip it. No. He knows inside out, and he gives these gifts. It's on my heart this morning to really speak to those of you who are on the sidelines in terms of your place in the body of Christ. We miss out when we do that. Oh, I know the flesh self tells us it knows what's best. Be about my priorities, self says. Be about my priorities, the world says. Be all about you, but the Lord says, hang on to your life and you'll lose it, but lose it for him and you'll find it. And that's where you really discover what it is. And so you begin to just go for it. You step out. You're available. You respond to something. However. But I want to encourage you. And I know that going for it, seeking, being available, discovering what God might want to do in you or through you, it can be scary. Believe me, I know it can be scary. I know right well that every time I stand up here, if God doesn't do it, I'm in big trouble. I'm going to fry in a second if God doesn't do this. It's only by his mercy and grace. And the same for what you do. I know what that's like. And yet, he's faithful. And what he calls us to, he empowers us to. And in that, you'll find such joy, the joy of purpose in Jesus. Don't settle for less than that. Verse 18. So much here, but let me just real quick look at verse 18 with you. But now God has set the members, the parts, each one of them in the body just as he pleased. Each one of us is important to God, and you have your place. I want to encourage you. Since he's placed you in the body, and he gifts each one as he desires. Now, don't argue with him about that. Be aware of it, and let him use it. Each of us has that gift. Start being open to it and stretching it and reaching out with it. And how do I discover it? It's going to mean risking it. You risk going for it. And you know what? It may take some time to find where you really fit in. You might simply respond to a call you hear for something in some area and you step forward. But you see right away, that's not really it. Maybe God's gifting's not there. But don't give up. Keep being available and trying and reaching out, and then you'll begin to find. It'll start to click. And you'll see, yeah, I have a gifting in this, and this is neat, and God seems to be using it, and people are getting encouraged and blessed, and that's how it works. But you got to risk it. Don't argue with God, and don't tell him you need to be another part. I mean, what if my hand all of a sudden decides it wants to do its own thing? You know, what are you doing? I don't want to be hand anymore. I know it's corny, but put up with it. I don't want to be a hand anymore. What do you want to be? I want to be a mouth. I already got a mouth. Well, I want to be a mouth anyway. I don't need two mouths. Well, I don't like being a hand, but I need a hand. I really need a hand. I don't want to do it. I mean, I want to go to the beach instead. See ya. And off it goes. Well, it's not going to work. And like I said, you can't be all one big hand. You can't be one big ear. And all different parts have their place. And don't argue with God about your place, but rejoice that you have your place and operate in it. I remember that as I went forward in responding to God's call in my life in some ways. I remember really doing business with God and saying, I want to have a purposeful life that you use, God. I want to discover the design you have for me and all, and I don't want to settle for less than that. I remember going forward in that, and as he began to do that, see, for a lot of it, it was just admitting what he'd already put on my heart. See, a lot of you just got to admit. Quit having a false humility and just say, God's given you an interest in this area or a burden in this area or a gifting. Maybe you just have a compassion in a particular area, a care for something. And don't evaluate your gift with the others. Well, I have some, but they got a lot more of it. Just whatever God's given you. And I had to begin to admit that God had put some burdens on my heart. And I took that as a call And he's confirmed that it was. But it just meant kind of risking and going for it, because it was going to mean a lot of stretching. But as I began to let God work in whatever way he wanted to, in and through my life, things began to fit. You know, up until then, life was like trying to put my hand in a glove, but it just didn't fit, you know, and the fingers wouldn't go in right. But then as I began to say, God, you take this, and Lord, I want what you have. I'm going to be all available and all. And the fingers began to pop in the right slots. Things began to fit. And that's what I desire for all of us. I've heard that majority of people in the body of Christ don't have that place. They're not doing what they really like doing. They haven't discovered their niche in it all. And that's sad, because it's there. And I remember finally getting down, just, you know, as you kind of surrender and let go and discover more and more, it was like finally it just all the fingers popped into the glove. And it fit. It fit. And that's what I want for all of us. See, most believers know these verses, but we don't really hunger for this kind of a work. We still think we want what we want, or we just kind of write it off as not really possible, or what's the big deal. But it's so crucial. It's part of why we're here. And another reason maybe we don't discover or walk in what God has for us is because we don't want to be a thumb. God, I don't want to be a thumb. I want to be something really prominent, you know, or whatever. I don't want to be a thumb. Do you know how important that thumb is? How awesome that thumb is? Just earlier this morning, Joyce caught me because she had an injured thumb. She was saying, she goes, let me tell you, you can't do anything. You know, you need that opposing grip, you know, right? You need that thumb for gripping things and doing things. You don't realize until it's not available, if it's broken or something. Man, it's so crucial. If God wants to make me a thumb, great. Be the best thumb you can be. Just offer it to God and let him make you that thumb. But I'm just saying, go for it. Too many people that, you know, and when it came to that glove, in that glove there's 5 finger slots. But only one will fit a thumb. And only the thumb will fit that slot. There's a place that only you will fit. It'll feel right when you're there, and it's crucial for you to do it. For you and all of us. Look at verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. We are all part of a family. We're all part of a body. And yet we're all individuals within that. We all have our place, our part. Please seek, pray for, be open to discovering your place. Both of us need it. And if you do, you know what? You'll never regret it. To discover your place in the body is a good thing, a joyous thing. How do you get in the body of Christ? By receiving Christ into your heart. By receiving what Jesus did on the cross for you. Understanding that we need a Savior, that we have sin that separates us, and there needs to be that payment, and that Jesus paid it. But we have to receive the payment by personally receiving. So if you haven't done that, that's first things first. You must do that. Find a prayer partner this morning and do that. But if you have, awesome, great. It changed your destiny. But don't go on the shelf. Don't go on hold. Don't hold back. Well, it's no big deal. I'm okay like I am. I'll just kind of coast along. I'm not really hurting anybody. Yeah, you are. You're hurting you, and you're hurting the body, because you have your place. Now, some of you know what your place in the body is. Awesome, awesome. Keep it up. But for others, the exciting thing is, this morning, the door is opening for an awesome adventure for you. If you're willing to walk through it, he will. Stir up gifts, give gifts, show you what he's doing, what he wants to do. What an awesome adventure lays before you if you'll just be available. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Tim, why don't you bring the team on up? As we close out our time and worship together, we invite you. If you need prayer this morning, go to the prayer room, find a prayer partner, and give prayer. As we head off into our days, our weeks, our lives, what will each morning, each day find us doing? You have a gift. Operate in it. Ask God to show you if you're not sure, but step forward in it. Pray he'll give you a desire in areas, interest, and in particular, he gives supernatural gifts too when needs arise. Just be available. Risk it. Go for it. And watch. You watch. What an awesome thing it is. Father, how we thank you, Lord. You've made us. You designed us. Father, you sent your Son to die for us. You made known our need and your answer. And for each one who's received of Jesus, the Savior, we sit here part of you, part of your body, part of the family. Now, Lord, help us all to keep operating in what you've given us. Be open to new works, Lord. Help us to stretch. Help us to risk it. Help us to all go for it. Just to be sensitive to the needs around us and all. Lord, thank you for giftings. Thank you for the supernatural gifts that you give, Lord. Help us to be open to every single one of them in whatever way you choose to, that you indeed might receive the glory, that others might be ministered to and loved with your love, and that we might walk in the reason you've got us here. Thank you. What a joy to know you've got us here for a purpose. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.